Hello, Kate Jones here, and this is the Love to Teach podcast. I am a history teacher, a middle leader, author, blogger, and now I am entering into the world of educational podcasts. Welcome to the second episode of the Love to Teach podcast. This week I will be talking about educational conferences, events and teach meets. I wanted to talk about this because last week I was very lucky to attend and speak at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. Whilst I was there, I was on a panel discussion alongside other educators as part of the EduMod strand, and we were talking about mental health with young people, so really interesting and important topic. There's lots of benefits of attending these type of events, whether it's research ed, brew ed, a teach meet, in the UAE we call them spark events, or whether it's an event organised by a company or organisation. But there can also be some problems and issues that arise with these events that I thought we should discuss too. And to help me with that, I've got some opinions from educators on Twitter, so thank you for getting involved this week. And finally, I will be sharing some tips and advice in regards to public speaking. So if you're thinking about presenting at an event, or maybe you already have presented at an event and are trying to improve because we can always get better, then hopefully you'll find some of my suggestions useful, or they might motivate you to sign up and speak at an educational conference. I enjoy attending educational events, and they've become an important part of my professional development and my professional learning. I feel very lucky that I've been able to attend so many events in recent years, both in the UK and internationally. And I've also been to some very high profile events, such as the Festival of Education, held at Wellington College, UK, every year. Now that's a great event. If you get the chance to go, then I would highly recommend that. They have such a diverse range of speakers covering all sorts of topics. It really is good, something for everyone. But then I've also been to smaller events. Like this summer, I went to Brew Ed Derby, and it was a group of teachers sat in a church hall on quite a cold, wet day. But we were listening to presentations about teaching, we were having cups of tea, we were just chatting. That was lovely, and I also learnt a lot that day as well. So there's all these different types of events, and as I've said, I think there's so many benefits from going to these events. And I think the three main things that make these events worthwhile are the learning, the sharing, and the networking. So first of all, the learning. If you go to an event, it's very likely you will learn something, if not a lot, because of the other educators who are there who are sharing. And all teachers should never stop learning. And I wrote a blog about this. It was, what do all great teachers have in common? And that's it, that they never stop learning and they don't want to stop learning. And actually, I've just been in school today where there was lots of presentations, and that message was being echoed by senior leaders and middle leaders about this ongoing professional learning, whatever stage of your career that you're at. So they're a great learning opportunity, but if you're like me and you like sharing, then that's a great way to do that, to speak at a conference, to share your ideas and opinions. Whether you are a teacher, a middle leader, a senior leader, you might think, oh, what have I got to share? Or I don't know if my presentation will be of any value to anyone. But it's likely that it will. If it's something that has worked for you or that has helped you, then it probably will help somebody else. So please do share. I like to encourage people to share who are reluctant to, you know, get involved. And this is what makes these events great. And then finally, as I've said, the networking. When you go to these events, you will meet very like-minded, enthusiastic educators and leaders. They're people who've given up their time to be there, just like you. And it's a great way to meet teachers outside of your school. It's great to have your colleagues, but in the first school I worked at in Wales, there was two people in the history department, myself included. So the fact that I was able to meet all these other history teachers and other teachers of other subjects at events, it really did help me a lot. And many of the people that I've met, I've managed to stay in touch with via Twitter, and then I've seen them again at conferences. They become familiar faces. Some people have said on Twitter that they think events seem a little bit clicky, but I don't think so. I think that that's just that some people do build up these friendships because they tend to go to events in the same area. But you've just got to be brave and you've got to approach people and start the conversation. Now, as I've said, there are some negative points to consider as well. And what I think are the downsides of educational conferences and events are the cost, the quality, and the timing. Now, cost might not always be an issue. If it's a teach meet, it could be free. A research ed or a brew ed derby event, they're either free or very cheap to attend. So that's helped teachers a lot because we know schools can't afford these conferences that cost £1,000 to send teachers out, and then you've got the cover of supply. So finance can be a really big barrier for going to these events. And then if a school can't pay for it and a teacher has to pay for it out of their own money, that's also a problem as well. And when you include expenses such as transport, it's not ideal. Now, the second point about quality is just that the quality can vary so much. I have been to so many wonderful educational events, but I've also been to some others that weren't very well organised and they were actually really disappointing. And if you're giving up your free time, especially a weekend or even an evening, or even if you're missing school, you're giving up something to attend a conference, whether that's personal or professional time. And if it's not high quality, then it just doesn't feel worth it. And that leads me to my next point about timings of conferences. There's more and more conferences taking place on a weekend. Now, Northern Rocks used to take place annually, and this was organised by Deborah Kidd, and Northern Rocks is no longer happening. And Deborah tweeted about this. Basically, she was just concerned about the amount of weekend conferences. And all you have to do is go on Twitter on a Saturday to see teachers, myself included. I've been to lots of weekend conferences, but they'll be tweeting about an event there are a Saturday or a Sunday. And that's fine if people don't mind, but other people are not so keen. And I can understand the reasons why. It is our weekend. We're teachers. We work really hard in the week. We know, especially if you're a teacher, you know that your job doesn't finish at 3 o'clock and that's it. So, but I'm not sure when the best time would be. So I took to Twitter to ask this question. And on Twitter, you can create a poll. So I asked the question, would you rather attend an educational conference or event during a weekend or during the week? Basically, miss in a school day. And it led to some really interesting debate and discussions, and the results are interesting. It reminded me of a certain referendum that I will not get into this podcast, but the results were 52%, 48%. And actually 52% of teachers said they'd rather go to a conference on the weekend. Now, that's interesting because how many other professions would people be willing to say that? And I've got some of the comments here from Twitter that I'll just share with you now. And this is Rebecca at BexN91. And it says, she says, weekends allow me to do what I like. Weekdays become restricted to what my school will allow. Rebecca makes a really good point. When it's a weekend, you've got freedom and flexibility. You don't have to fill in any forms. Some people don't like the fact that some schools let you go on courses, but you must feedback or present to staff. But what about if you are attending a course that's just personal to you and perhaps not that relevant at a whole school level? Also, other people, Jodie Waters at History Waters, she agreed. She said, yes, exactly this, more freedom. Alex Bellas said on Twitter, hate setting cover work. Oh, that's another problem, isn't it? If you're going to a conference in the week, you've got to set cover. And we all know that a cover teacher is not ideal and they cannot replace you in the classroom with your students. And Rachel at Wild on Twitter said, I like to attend with colleagues and our school wouldn't let more than one teacher go to the same conference on a school day. This means it becomes more of a day out on a weekend with dinner and drinks. And I also agree with Rachel, because when I was at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, I was able to combine that with catching up with friends, going to see some comedy shows. When I went to speak in Hong Kong last year, I combined it with basically sightseeing, because I'd never been to Hong Kong. So I had a few days as a tourist, which I loved, and then I had the two-day conference. But not everybody agrees, and Jeremy Williams, principal head teacher in Abu Dhabi at J. Williams Edu, has said, it's hard for me to justify giving up time with my family, but being a head teacher, it's much easier for me to attend during the week. And I said, yeah, you're right, Jeremy. So you don't have to set the cover and the lessons. You've got the flexibility as a head teacher to do that. I asked him, well, what about your classroom teachers? Would you rather them go on a weekend or during the week? And by the way, I know Jeremy, he's really hardworking and he's really enthusiastic. And he said he would prefer it in the week as well, because he wants his staff to unwind at the weekend. And my friend Matt, a teacher in Dubai at Fine Dining Matt, said he would have used to have said the weekend. But now that I have a son, it has to be something special for me to give up time with him. And there's this sacrifice that we have to make. I think if we give up time during the week, we might have this teacher guilt, especially with it being exam classes, although all in classes are important. But then if we go at a weekend, we might have this guilt with our not spending time with our friends and family. So I don't have an answer to that. I personally do prefer to go to an event during a weekend, but I have to be selective now. That's because I don't want to give up all of my weekends. I want to have time to spend with my friends, with my family, to do my, you know, things I enjoy outside of teaching. So I think that's the key here, is researching the event to ensure that it is well organised and that it's likely to be very high quality. To consider the price, how much is it going to cost you, either with a ticket combined with a hotel and transport, and is the timing suitable? But if we are selective, and if you don't go to many conferences, then I don't think teachers do mind giving up the odd weekend. And most of the time when I have given up that time, it's been really worth it. And it's been a valuable use of my time. Public speaking tends to be one of those things that people either really enjoy and they get a buzz out of it, or it can fill them with fear and dread. And if you're one of those people who don't enjoy public speaking, then I can relate, because I've had some bad experiences myself. But my advice would be to persevere, to keep going with it, because now it's something that I look forward to. I feel I'm continually getting better at, and it's helped with my confidence. Also, I mentioned that in the last episode, I'm just starting a new job. And as part of the interview process, I had to deliver a presentation. Now, a lot of people, when they would see that you have to deliver a presentation as part of an interview, they might dislike that. But I was really glad. I thought, yes, I'm going to go for this. And I knew that I could practice my presentation. And in the end, I got the job. So it all worked out well. And I also think public speaking is important for career progression, because if you want to be a middle leader or a senior leader, then it's likely that you're going to have to address a large group of people, whether that's colleagues, students, parents. If you take a head teacher, for example, think about all the times they have to speak to large audiences, whether it's an assembly, a concert, a presentation evening, on a whole staff inset day. So this is really important. And if you can become confident as a public speaker before you reach senior leadership, then when you do get to that role, then that's something that you're able to do and you feel quite natural with. And I thought I would share five of my top tips in regards to public speaking, which are just based on my experiences as an audience member at educational events and also from speaking at lots of different events. And my first bit of advice would be, think about your topic very carefully, and that should be your starting point, the topic, because I know some teachers who've signed up to speak at an event and they just want to speak but they have no idea what they'll talk about. And it's great that they've got the enthusiasm, but it would be even better if they had something specific in mind that they wanted to talk about. Now, in the past, I've been asked 6 months in advance to speak at an event. I've agreed and they've asked for the title. And at that point in time, I might not know what I want to talk about because there's so many things. I like talking about literacy, technology, research, history teaching, and so on. So I've used the title Love to Teach because that gives me a little bit of flexibility. But then later down the line, usually you have to provide a little bit more information about what the theme of your presentation will be. So think carefully about your topic. Pick something that you are really interested in and that you feel confident and knowledgeable about. Because if you're not interested or you don't know much about it, then it will show and you will feel uncomfortable on the stage. And people don't want to watch somebody just winging it or talk about something that they have no interest in. So go for that, a topic that excites you or interests you and that you know, you don't have to be an expert in that field, but that you do know something about. Now, the second point is about the actual content and design of your presentation, whether that's PowerPoint, Prezi, or Keynote on Mac, it doesn't matter. But we do have knowledge now of cognitive load theory and dual coding, and we can use that knowledge when we are creating our presentations. Now, some people say that cognitive load theory is common sense and it's obvious not to combine lots of text when you are speaking. But if it's so obvious, why is it so common? And I've been guilty of doing this myself, having text on the screen for the audience to read, and I'm speaking at the same time. That's not good. That could be confusing. So what would be even better would be to have a heading, a picture, and then you are speaking and delivering your presentation. That also requires you to be knowledgeable. Because when you don't have the text there on the screen as your backup, it's just you. Maybe you can have notes, but that's not something I do. I just make sure I'm talking about something that I have experience of, that I feel like I really know my stuff. And when it comes to pictures or photos, I would recommend the website pixabay.com. Pixabay. Free images, they are very high quality and you don't have to worry about any copyright issues. But make sure you pick images that are relevant to what you're saying. They're going to support and enhance your points rather than distract from them. My next point is about timing. And this comes from frustration as an audience member and an events organiser. If you're given a specific amount of time to present, then I would suggest rehearsing your presentation so you know what you can or cannot include within that time frame. So for example, lots of teach meets will have conferences where teachers will speak for 5 or 10 minutes, and they're only meant to be short, informal presentations with a takeaway idea or suggestion. But I've been to so many events where teachers have gone way over the 5 minutes, and I remember an event in London where the very first speaker spoke for much longer than 5 minutes, and it was about 15 minutes in when actually the organisers came on stage and asked that person to leave, but it had a knock-on effect for the rest of the event. I'd travelled to London and I'd already got my train ticket in advance, and I was meant to stay there for the whole of the event. But because of that initial session and everything running behind, I actually missed lots of the presentations. And I don't think it's very fair to either the audience or to the other presenters if you go over your time. And another time when somebody was presenting, and I remember this very clearly, that they spent 5 minutes introducing themselves, a background about their career and their qualifications. That was interesting, but then the 5 minutes were up and they hadn't even got past their first slide, and they were really upset and quite angry. But at the same time, they were told in advance they only had 5 minutes. And I've also been to a presentation that was an hour long, but it's clear that the presenter hadn't prepared for an hour, and they used lots of filler strategies, such as talk to your partner for 20 minutes about this idea, what do you think? And the talk to the person next to you can work well, but in this specific example, it was clear this person hadn't practiced, rehearsed, prepared, and they just didn't have enough content to talk about for an hour. So practice and rehearse and know your timings. Now, when you do come to present, and this is my fourth bit of advice, keep the technology simple. Yes, videos and sound can enhance your presentation, but if you're presenting in a location where you're not used to presenting, or you're not that confident with technology, then just keep it as simple as possible. Last year, I was ironically a technology conference, and the technology completely let me down. I created a presentation on my Mac. I took a Mac connector with me, but the Mac would just not connect. Now, I do regret the fact that I just stood there for 5 minutes waiting for the IT team to fix the problem. Whereas now, I think I would just begin and, you know, so the audience don't have to wait. But at that point, I was, and this is only about a year ago, I was just really reliant on the technology, and I thought I was prepared. I didn't think the technology would let me down. And the school I was at, they're very advanced in regards to technology. So that surprised me. So just keep it as simple as possible with the technology. And my final bit of advice is to reflect on your presentation afterwards. Whether that's you just reflecting on your own or seeking feedback, or some events are streamed live. So if you get the opportunity to watch or listen to yourself back, whilst it might seem a little bit embarrassing, it's a really good activity. And lots of people do this in the classroom as well. They watch themselves back teaching and they pick up on things that they never realised before. So just to reiterate my top tips. Number one, pick your topic, something that you're interested in and that you're knowledgeable about. Number two, think about the design and the layout and the content of your presentation. Number three, stick to timings. Number four, with technology, keep it very simple. And number five, don't forget to reflect. Thank you for listening to the second episode of the Love to Teach podcast, and a big thank you to the educators on Twitter that got involved in the debate and discussion about educational conferences that was the focus of this episode. The next episode will have a back to school theme, because it's that time of year again, the holidays are almost over, but as teachers, the next holiday is never too far away, and I really do like this time of year. Back to school, a fresh start for everyone. I think it's really exciting, but it can also be nerve-wracking too, especially if you're an NQT or in the early years of your career, or if you're like me, I'm starting a new job in a new school in a new location. I'm still in the United Arab Emirates, but I've actually moved about an hour and a half away. So I'm very busy, I've got lots going on, but still time to record a podcast. And in the next episode, I'll be offering some tips and advice on how to stay organised, because I think that's really important. And I'll also be suggesting what I think are the best ways to start a lesson. And that will be taken from my book, Love to Teach, but with some other things that I wanted to add since I've published my book, there's been some things that I've been reflecting on. So I look forward to that episode, and I hope you do too.